Well, boys, looks like you started the fun without me.
You're all sick. Every last one of you.
We're going to need a bigger gun.
What's the matter? You're scared of things that go boom, boom, boom.
Give me one goddamn reason why I shouldn't blow your goddamn brains all over that goddamn wall.
My name is Eric, and I'm here with organic farmer Michael Kester. And,
nice to meet you.
No, that is organic death curse.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kester.
You notice those guys never drive cars?
No, bikes. Bikes 100% of the time.
Can't get a fucking driver's license. Anyways, what do we... There's movies on... This is double feature, by
This
the
is
way.
Double feature.
And the movies are...
We're going to do Killapalooza 666.
I hate you.
The Return of the Killapalooza.
The Return of the Corn.
Yeah.
So this is Children of the Corn.
This is... No, let's just say that one more time. This is Children of the Corn.
It's true. This is really happening.
Yeah.
I don't know if you thought we were just going to do Jason again, yeah. but this is Children of the Corn. So I want to say something about Children of the Corn before we get into all our usual nonsense,
yeah.
just so people know right now, no one watched these films.
Nope.
Nobody saw these films. I know that. I know you didn't watch Children of the Corn. It's fine. We barely watched Children of the Corn.
Yep.
Actually, we did.
Yeah.
We really did, though, and I want credit for that.
I watched them twice.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for you. And one of them almost three times, right? Because
yeah.
you caught it on cable. That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's what you get for leaving the city. You catch that. You're one of those people who catch things on cable.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the deal. Last year, we covered the slashers,
mm-hmm.
right? We didn't get to Hellraiser, and we'll cover that this
mm-hmm.
year. Okay. Settle down, everybody.
Yeah.
We're getting there. We're also minus one Killapalooza this year because we're doing a Music Box Massacre show.
Uh-huh.
So we decided, and we said this last year, that not all the Killapaloozas are going to be good.
Yeah.
And Children of the Corn is a thing that you and I have been pretending does not exist.
Yeah.
And finally, we were just like, all right, you know what? We have a job to do. We have a social responsibility. And people want to know what the hell Children of the Corn is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to call
Without
this
Without doing the work.
Right. I'm going to call this the Children of the Corn supplemental show.
Uh-huh.
No pun intended with corn and supplements.
Uh-huh.
I know you were working on a joke there, and I don't even want to let you get to that
all
point.
Right.
So this is if you like Children of the Corn, if you've seen them, or if you don't know bullshit about Children of the Corn.
If you don't know bullshit about Children of the Corn, you know the title, you know 66% of...
I would say 666%.
I would just say 66%, which is coincidentally how much heavier corn has become in the past few years.
Anyways, are you talking about the band or the vegetable?
Both.
I hope your corn jokes don't cut into my quota of Trent Reznor jokes, because I think we're going to have to get some of those. There's going
to
be spoilers.
I'll try to can the corn.
It's going to be spoilers, but fuck that. You don't care about the plot to Children
Whatever.
Of the Corn. Here's what I'll tell you. If you haven't seen the Children of the Corn movies right now, see the first and third.
See the odd numbers, minus the seventh.
No, don't do that bullshit. Odd numbers. Don't start Star Trekking
One,
Children
three,
of
five.
The Corn.
No, stop. I'm not going to say the Star Trek thing. You had to bring that up.
All right. I don't believe that about Star Trek
either,
but that's for another show. There's spoilers, but I think you should do the first and the third so you get the seriousness of the first, and the third has the best joke.
Yeah.
Which will feel like you did a full Killapalooza.
Yep.
I would challenge people to even try and get through the first and the third back-to-back, because I don't think you can do it.
No.
So there's spoilers, but who gives a shit? Also, there are chapters. One other thing I want to mention. This place is a fucking wreck we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if like the audio quality is weird, it's because this is the last show in this studio. We're moving to I call this Uptown because Uptown, whatever, but this is Buena Park.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the nice part of Uptown where you pretend you live in Lakeview. The studio is moving north to a bigger space, sort of, in real Uptown.
Yeah.
So you lived in real Uptown for a while.
Yeah.
You got any warnings or heads up for me?
Hobo gangbangs, man.
All right. So if the show ends here, you'll know why it ended. But no, there'll be a great show next week, which
Absolutely.
We'll talk about at the end of the show. But let's just get right into the first Children of the Corn film.
Okay.
Is that how this happens?
I'm going to take it from you.
Before the first one, I want to preempt one more thing. There's chapters. You can skip to the different corns. There was another thing I wanted to preempt. And that is that this is terrifying. And now I can see where you were coming from when you said, hey, let's do Children of the Corn. These movies, when we saw them, I know, fact, pure fact. I know we watched these movies and it was hard to get through them.
Yep.
I know there were six of us watching them or something.
Four.
And whatever. And we were all rolling around on the floor delirious by the first half of the first film. And how are we going to do this? However, the second day I was like, Children of the Corn, yeah, that was pretty bad. It was hard to get through. The third day, I was like, Children of the Corn wasn't very good, was it? And by the fourth day, I was like, that Children of the Corn, that was a funny time.
I know.
And now, like a week later, I'm like, yeah, Children of the Corn. But no, that is not something that could, because these are bad, right? Yeah,
they're really bad.
I mean, come on, they're bad. They're not nearly the caliber of anything we've seen. Yeah. I would probably rather turn Bedazzled back on than watch Children of the Corn.
Do Prophecy 1 through 3?
Yeah. I mean, they're about prophecy bad. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I want to have that discussion or which is worse, but yeah. So if it comes off for some reason like these are outstanding films, I am really sorry. Yeah.
Well, speaking of outstanding films, let's go into the first one, because I will still vouch that the first Children of the Corn movie, like all Stephen King aside,
right,
is still a good horror film.
All Stephen King aside. Tell me why you and because I was not feeling it as much as you were, although in retrospect, I will once again, if I were to, you know, have a conversation with another person who hasn't seen Children of the Corn, I'd be like, oh yeah, the first one, that was the real one, the good one.
I really like it because it's not afraid to be like really, really heavy.
Right.
And powerful and violent. And you have this whole thing where... And I it's kind of a microcosm. Like, I talked about it while we were watching the film, because why watch it when you can talk to somebody?
Yeah.
It's just like a microcosm where instead of going the former part of the film, pre-Stephen King, I'll say, instead of going, oh, a Martian came down from Earth, or a Martian came down from the moon, or Mars, I think is where Martians
That's where Martians come from, typically, yes.
And
Mars.
He's like, oh, you believe in religion? You guys are crazy. You're doing all these crazy religious things that are just harming other people.
Right.
Instead, they remedialize it, and they bring it to a microcosm where it's kids that are ruling everything.
Yeah.
They've killed everyone. They're following, like, this malignant fucking tumor of a religion.
Yes.
Which is, like, Isaac, who I love. Yeah. Fucking love Isaac's character.
Yeah, this is the one with Isaac. That's how you remember that. Yeah. I mean, that's easy. And, you know, they bring Isaac back later. Yeah. They know it's about Isaac. You know, he's the only... We'll get into this with the later films.
Yeah.
But there is no, like, I don't want to say continuity. I mean, they kind of play with the same rules and do whatever.
You just need Korn.
But Korn is the only reoccurring anything in any of these films.
But you have Isaac, who is the benevolent leader of the children.
Right.
He's heard from he who walks behind the R-O-W-S.
Rose.
That...
Like Korn Rose, I get it.
That, you know, they need to rid the adults from Gatlin in order to live a pious life.
Which is a town that was once important to the series. Yeah.
And there's like a bunch of Bible like parallels with Malachi and the Judas thing.
Right.
Whatever. But these adults come in who in another lesser film would have been Martians.
Yeah.
And they go, you guys are insane. You're killing 18-year-old boys and drinking their blood and like ruling this based on hogwash bullshit.
Right.
You're going based on some creepy little kid.
Yeah.
Like, wake up.
Yeah. What the fuck are you doing? Exactly. Essentially. Yeah.
And that's why I like this film, is it calls it out.
Right.
It goes, look, you're insane.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is people watching it, even religious people, agree.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, they don't realize that they're being called out.
Well, so we have some commentary here, and it's obviously religious commentary, and it's saying some... You know, the thing that gets me in this, before we even like...
Is it Linda Hamilton?
This is trying to bring some kind of message about religion. And at the time we were watching it, I thought, wow, what a joke. But it's the only time in the series, like, the religious message just slowly dissipates as time goes on before it's not there anymore. And yeah, you bring up a great point. And, you know, this film does the only thing of integrity of any of the films, in that it tries to say, look at how silly this religion is by bringing in, you know, the outsiders.
The Outlanders, please.
Well, yeah, exactly. The Outlanders. Although the films eventually even abandon that.
Yeah. Which I would hold as one of the better parts of the first film, is that they have, like, the
At
term
least they have
Outlander.
A language. Yeah. Sure. You know, the moral of the storyline that's delivered at the very end when Linda Hamilton's all tied up, which, hey, by the way, Linda Hamilton came back. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the prophecy, we've just created a degree for the Kevin Bacon game, as you can refer to double feature as having done Terminator and the Prophecy for some reason. So, Linda Hamilton and the Terminator, and then...
Linda Hamilton and Children of the Corn.
There you go. Which I like seeing her in that. That was one of the only recognizable people, one of the only recognizable actors in the series. But, you know, you get the point at the end where the guy's like criticizing the religion, and then he goes, any religion without love and compassion is false.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? That's what makes the religions false?
Yeah.
Love and compassion? Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're dead fucking wrong. Yeah. Maybe you should turn around and actually read that Bible you're thumping.
I'm going to call that Stephen King.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, like, whatever. It's still wrong.
You get such a free pass, because I don't read Stephen King. Yeah. I need to like do that so I yeah. can actually agree with you or be like, stop spouting off your Stephen King nonsense on this show.
Whenever you're watching a movie written by Stephen King and there's anything religious or paranormal, it's Stephen King.
You just blame Stephen King. Yeah. You've done this over and over on the show, and I don't know, so I just agree with you. Yeah, probably
Stephen King has this...
Fuck you, Stephen King.
Stephen
sure,
King has this weird thing where he really likes to evoke the spirit world.
Yeah,
To explain unexplainable phenomena.
Sure.
Which, like, that I think, and here we go, that I think cheapens this film and essentially opens the gateway for the series to become what it does.
Yeah, absolutely. It becomes about powers.
And it becomes bullshit... random, like, black corn planting eats the homeless. Okay. Like, or, like, the evil scarecrow ripped the guy's spine large.
Right, yeah.
Random stuff starts happening, and it's because it gets this free pass on...
Look, it is. It's a free pass. That's why we criticize, like, that shit on the show all the time.
And there's no clearer definitive moment than when Isaac comes back, for me.
Yeah.
Because in the first film, you have this thing where Isaac is this... really dark and still, like, he's not a bad guy.
Right.
I mean, he's not a bad guy except for the fact that he wants to kill all the adults.
Oh, sure.
But he's not unreasonable. He's acting what he feels is only according to benevolent, blah, 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 bullshit, kills people, bad guy.
Sure.
But not so much so that he just, like, he doesn't let it go to his head. There we go.
Yeah.
He does only what he feels is exactly what's being dictated, and he won't do more for his own gain. And so he ends up getting killed because Malachi becomes... He swallows something, probably, and he becomes bad and kills everybody, and he starts shouting Outlander. And then Isaac comes back after you find out there's, like, a really big letdown.
Yeah.
Where he who walks behind the rose... kind of comes rumbling up under the carpet of the dirt.
Sure.
And you're like, oh no. You kind of realize this moment where these adults that come in and go, look how stupid you are. Stephen King wants them to feel stupid.
Yeah. That's where it kind of eliminates the entire message because it makes a fool of them. Sure.
And there's, like, bad CG lightning. And
it's pretty much everything.
And essentially
you don't want.
Isaac comes back with gray hair and leprosy.
Yeah. It happens in the worst way that it possibly could.
And he goes, He's got his normal, like, weird kiddie adult voice.
Yeah.
But he comes back and he's like, Malachi, he wants you too. And, like, gives Malachi a hug. And they both get electrocuted.
Awkward.
And then it becomes all about, like, this was the part that you guys, like, tuned out. But they have to set the corn on fire.
No, I was
okay.
Around for
that. Well, they have to burn the corn out, and they use Molotov cocktails. And the little kids who have always kind of been against the religion kind of help out the adults because they know what's going on with the man who was crucified in blue.
Okay.
There's so many Bible references.
So two things before we move to the next film. One, this is a great point to
pop your popcorn.
This is a great point to mention. Molotov cocktails are, like, the best weapon ever. I don't know why I didn't think about this. Back when I was, you know, shooting everyone and blowing things up or something, I don't know what I was referencing there, but Molotov cocktails. I mean, you have a bottle of alcohol and you fucking light a thing on fire and you throw it and it spreads and the fire goes everywhere. It's ingenious. So pat on the back, guy who invented the Molotov cocktail. Second thing, this movie starts something they eventually remedied, but it has an awkward ending.
Yeah,
a
it
really
does.
Awkward ending. You know, we talked about this with Chucky, where Chucky wraps up really well. It gives you the fucking thing happens at the end, and we just, you know, we clap our hands together, and we're done. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a slasher series, so you know what happens at the end of every film. Chucky dies, okay? Sorry, spoiler. But they kill Chucky, and then they walk away as the credits roll. It's just, it's perfect, it's seamless, it's no bullshit wrap-up.
Yeah.
Children of the Corn, however, tries to accomplish that, but just gets really awkward.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, what's going to happen now? And then the credits just kind of appear.
Yeah,
and you're
well,
like, why
this,
is this?
There's
what's
this
going
thing
on
at
here?
The end where when they highlight all the kids, all the children of the corn, and the staples of the series, let's just get this out of the way real quick. Children, corn, blood.
Yeah.
Done. That's it.
That's fine.
The thing with this movie is they have the characters, you know, they have Isaac, they have Malachi, they have the two little kids.
Right.
And then there's this curly-haired girl who's, like, I guess a character.
Yeah, whatever.
And she's in the church, and she wants everybody to drink the blood and whatever. But at the end of the film, after everything is seemingly okay, she's, like, sneakily in the back of of their car. And she gets up, and she's going to stab him. And he, like, gets out of the car, and she's like, I'm going to get you. And he slams the door on her head, and she gets knocked out. And they go, we better leave. And then it goes,
The end.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so
And
awkward.
They're just like, and all the actors are like, wait, serious? Like, that's it?
They all turn and look at the big sign that says the end, and they're like, what the hell?
Kind of waddle away from the car.
So let's twist our transistor onto the second film.
All right.
I think I just took the only Korn reference, you know? Don't worry, there's more. So the second film, I guess we should explain the 3-point rating system of the Children of the Korn films, right? Do you want to take
really
that?
Really good. Okay, so IMDb kind of has this thing where you rate films. Okay,
we're big fans of the Rotten Tomato systems, but let's, you know, IMDb lends itself really well to this series.
So, generally speaking, all of the Children of the Corn movies are rated on IMDb.
Right. Users assign a rating between 1 and 10, but not for Children of the Corn films.
All of the Children of the Corn films on IMDb, as a general rule, fall between 3.0 and 3.9.
Yeah, it's the decimal system that you use to rate Children of the Corn.
It's the it's the 3-point scale.
Yeah, that's
so
what it is.
What it does is it allows all viewers of the films to go, these are bad,
but
here's which one's better.
Right.
You know? Like, you don't go, oh, maybe this one's bad, this one. It's not Jason.
Right.
It's not Friday the 13th part 5 gets 2.0, Friday the 13th part 4 gets 8.
Yeah.
It's Children of the Corn 1 is 3.8, Children of the Corn 2 is 3.4, Children, you know, like, it just falls, they're bad.
Yeah.
You can kind of judge.
It's your heads up,
where
really.
Where they fall in relation to each other.
So, we're not going to give these ratings, because fuck that, but head over to IMDb and just for shits and giggles, look that up. The only thing I really have to say about the second film is there's all this weird... So, first of all, there's Trent Reznor in the film. There's a young, brooding, purist-feeling Trent Reznor. And I haven't heard Purest Feeling in a while, so my Purest Feeling jokes are going to be a little off. But he's the leader in this one. So you get set up with a different leader.
Yeah.
You know, same song and dance.
Which is the first downfall of the whole series.
Well, yeah, we watched these, and one of the people we were watching with pointed out, look, this is the same film over and over. And I don't know if that's 100% true. I mean, I think they try and mix them up a little bit, but this is film one, but with more, like, the Wizard of Oz references. Right. And bad the Wizard of Oz. You know, the house is propped up for seemingly no other reason, so that a person can crawl under it, get a house, have a house smash them, and have their feet sticking out, and go, "What a world!" I mean, it's cringeworthy. It is bad.
So here's the second film in a nutshell, and this is going to refresh Eric's memory because I'm sure he doesn't remember half the things I'm going to say.
There's a church scene.
The film starts in Gatlin. After the discovery of all the bodies,
with this weird, like, you know, reporting stuff going on.
There's
crazy
I'm all
over this.
Field day,
press junkets,
and they move all these kids to the neighboring town,
right?
And they're all adopted, and there's hot girls on motorbikes and what have you.
Certainly is.
But the other thing that this film has, and this is what I don't think you'll remember, it has Native American prophecy.
Oh, I remember.
Okay.
Oh, this is Redbeard.
Frank Redbear.
Redbear, is that it?
Red
Whatever.
Bear.
That's fine.
He leads this pulp reporter, who's the main character's father.
Yeah.
To these ancient rocks near a creek.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, this means that the prophecy has yet to be fulfilled, and blah,
certainly
blah, blah.
Does.
I'm an anthropologist.
Yeah.
And there's, like, these kids, and they're evil, and they're permeating the new town, and it's just as bad, despite all the warnings of the death curse on a bicycle lady.
Yeah.
And once you move it to the new... Here's the difference between Children of the Corn and Jason or any other slasher film, really. Let's take Chucky. Chucky's a really good idea.
Sure,
for
let's
this.
Do it.
So, in the Child's Play movies, spoilers ahead, you go... Child's Play 1 takes place in a fucking apartment in Chicago.
Yeah.
In the second movie, they go, okay, well, we're just going to give the same kid a foster home.
That's fine,
we'll do it again. They pull it off. They use other tactics that make it okay.
Right.
But then Child's Play does the thing that all slasher films eventually do, where they go, we can't keep putting him in a house with a family, killing the family off, and then killing Chucky.
Yeah.
All we can
put him in the military.
Yeah. Change the fucking setting. Children of the Corn attempts that by moving to another fucking town in Nebraska.
Yeah, can you believe
this? It's not Gatlin anymore. It's totally different.
Yeah, and it just fails. There's all sorts of fail surrounding this.
And so you have these kids, and you don't give a flying fuck.
Nope.
And it goes through the same movie, except there's more protagonists.
Yeah.
Stronger protagonists who have more backup knowledge. And then there's this weird, like, subplot where the town is intending to poison the corn supply of the world.
Yeah.
For no real reason.
It's a terrible lie.
And, this movie all culminate... is there more you need to say about
no.
that?
No.
Okay.
Kind of I want to. Sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
This film culminates in another weird paranormal you know, murder in the
Well,
round.
This is where it gets super paranormal because it's possession now.
Yeah. There's
Before,
murder.
Before it was like this, these kids just believe weird shit and obey, let's call it, I don't know, Papa Corn, right?
Yeah.
And they just, they obey it, whatever. They're following a false religion. Haha, we get it. It's Scientology. Okay. But then in the second movie, there's all this possession stuff where you see this like weird moment where young Revere Tresnik is actually like mauled by the what the fuck is that thing called? I live in Chicago. I don't know what this corn
the thresher. It's a thresher that they add like spikes on the front.
Okay, yeah, it's a monster thresher. Yeah. That's what that is. And it, as it starts running over him, you see this moment where maybe he converted back to himself.
Well, no,
like
you see a clear
spirit.
Moment where his face turns into a goblin then explodes off of his face.
Sure, but that's the idea that the spirit that possessed
left,
him is
and
leaving.
He becomes a good guy again.
Yeah, he's a normal guy now.
But then he gets all threshed, and it doesn't matter.
Fuck that. Let's move on to the third one.
Hold on. No, there's one thing. Okay. No, we can't just disappear into the creek without covering the prophecy being fulfilled.
All right, please.
So this film ends in... And this, again, we're just going to keep referring back to what we said about the first film with this. Fucking supernatural bullshit licensing that the first film has...
While we're speaking of that, there's also this idea thrown around at the end as if this wasn't cringeworthy enough. Einstein hated evolution.
That is total bullshit.
And that's all that needs to be said about that, I think. Check your fucking facts.
Yeah. So the end of this film ends with one of the silliest moments in horror history because it's become one of the silliest
moments. You say
moments
that, but we're getting to
history.
The third film. I don't know how.
Bad
you're...
silly.
Okay.
This film ends with Indian burial yard.
Yeah. It's really, it's Indian
I'm using
burial
Indian,
ground.
I'm
really,
using
yeah.
Indian intentionally politically incorrect because that's what people say. It's an Indian grave.
Right.
And
there's
then,
an Indian in the film
then,
who is spouting
then,
off stereotypically offensive nonsense.
And then Frank Redbear, who has died but then didn't die,
right,
like comes walking through the creek in his traditional Native American like moccasins and his beaver skin, and he fulfills the prophecy on the ancient stones with his chalk, and then he goes and like disappears into the creek, and then it goes Children of the Corn 2.
Awkward.
The final sacrifice.
Yeah. At least they got that shit out of the way. This is the final Children of the Corn is number two. Great. Glad we did that.
Actually, I'm glad that we didn't do that. Because if the Children of the Corn 2 was the final sacrifice, we would never have had an urban harvest.
So this one should automatically win points because it's Chicago and we just have...
Well, it's kind of Chicago. They use some B-roll of Chicago.
Yeah, they do. And that's really about it. They have the urban harvest and... you know, I don't. This is the film that introduces one of these wonderful techniques we don't really have a term for, and I feel bad giving Children of the Corn. And I just want to forget this once this is over. But what do you call it when you cut, when you pause a frame and then splice into it like digitally with the zoom is like it's like closer and then closer and then you know what I mean? How do I explain this? Yeah, I guess that noise is
the best
way
to... That's really all you need.
Yeah, you just go zoom, zoom, zoom.
Imagine somebody... Okay, we're going to go thought experiment, this doesn't exist thing.
Okay.
You're sitting in a room and somebody walks in and goes, but he's been dead the whole time, looks at the camera, and then the camera zooms in on him three times with heavy like drumsticks on a metal pipe.
Right, yeah.
And goes...
Yeah, and it's totally serious.
Yes.
It is not kidding at all.
It's awful.
Yeah, it is terrible. So we change the setting. We go through the school. There's not a lot to say. There's one obvious thing to say.
There's two obvious things to say.
All right, so what's the thing before the thing I want to talk about?
Screaming Mad George.
Screaming Mad George is actually what I was going to get. This is the first one that feels like popcorn kind of slasher to me. This is the first time I was having fun. This
it's violent
thing.
Fuck.
It is violent, and the effects are legitimately good.
Yeah, they are.
So, Screaming Mad George, like, you should explain his stuff. We've seen him on the show before in Hatchet.
Yeah, we have. And Hatchet is, like, still to date one of my favorite, like,
for sure.
monster makeup horror jobs ever. Screaming Mad George and Tob Savini, that's who you get, because they're the guys that when people get stabbed, you see, like, skin rip.
Yeah.
Like, they use, like, that polyurethane, like, rubbery thing where, like,
you have
you
no
watch
idea what you're
skin,
talking about
like,
right now, do you?
Yeah, I have no fucking idea. But you watch the skin get tight and then like rip like it's baloney.
Yeah.
And then there's blood and tendons and you're like, oh no!
That was a great voice, by the way.
And Screaming Mad George is the king of that.
Yeah, he is really good. There's a point though where, just to familiarize everybody, this is where they're introduced with the Foster. We're doing Chucky 2, I guess.
Yeah, this is Chucky 2.
They're introduced to a foster home. They're really weird. There's a prayer at dinner. What's up with that? That is some weird stuff.
So
And then there's like a weird struggle between the older brother and the younger brother because the older brother wants to play basketball and do chicks.
There's an arbitrary backstory that they don't touch on enough to make people understand that Eli, the youngest kid, and Joshua, the older kid, are half brothers.
Yeah.
They're stepbrothers.
Don't care.
I know, but the thing is, one of them is evil and Gatlanian.
Okay.
And the other one is Joshua.
Plot.
And that explains why Joshua just wants to be, you know, Joshua just wants to be a normal kid.
Right.
And Eli wants to be an Amish kid and plant dark corn.
So what you're saying is Joshua is a freak on a leash?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, this one also has the story of the younger brother growing Chicago's best corn.
Yeah.
Which is great because then they sell it at the Board of Trade, which we know somebody who works at the Board of Trade. I believe he's in your band.
Yeah.
And they really do. It's like the New York Stock Exchange, except when they're rattling off numbers and screaming, it's about like corn and wheat.
Yeah.
You want to talk about theater, the absurd, like that shit right there. That's where it's at. But the third movie ends with Papa Corn. We joked as we watched the first three movies about Papa Corn, the mysterious corn that rises from the... I have to give you credit because you didn't... The whole time I'm thinking, oh, great, a hilarious monster will show up. And you're like, no, dude, it's just some lightning.
Yeah.
And in the third movie, you get a ridiculous monster that springs out of the ground.
You get the corn monster that comes out of the Chicago cornfield.
So besides calling him Papa Corn, how would you describe said awful monster?
Well, it's a giant monster that... It really likes to tendril fuck Charlize Theron.
Yeah, I guess that's
in her
what's going
big
on there.
Screen debut.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it also has a really passionate love for the taste of action figures.
Yeah. So this is we're gonna now move away from Screaming Mad George. Whether he did or not, I'm gonna say he had nothing to do with this because impossible. It's not like we watched these on Blu-ray or anything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. We stole these off the internet. You can't even rent this shit. Yeah. Half of it doesn't exist to buy. I mean, there's no way to get a hold of it. So Children of the Corn 3, we got off the fucking Pirate Bay, okay? So it's not like it's high resolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shitty DivX copy. And we're watching this thing, and you can clearly tell in the, like, most B-movie of ways that they show this monster like superimposed with people running around, but then when they actually have to make people like work with the monster, they just use tiny figurines.
Yeah.
With like some kind of motor in them to make to make the
legs
feet
kick.
And hands like flail.
Yeah.
And it is the most laughably bad shit we've seen since Tank Girl on this show.
It's so bad.
Even Tank Girl is like, haha, there's wires, but come on, this is like...
This is really bad.
This is terrifyingly bad.
The other thing that's really bad, that it's a lot less obvious, but whenever Eli, earlier on in the film, is going to use any magic powers, the film quality is noticeably lower and darker.
It's, it's very
because
strange.
Because there's a separate film reel over the actual film reel, because the actor's just putting his hand out, and then there's a Star Trek phaser film reel over it that makes a fireball shoot out and bounce off Eli's magic Bible.
Yeah, it's like, how did this possibly happen?
Yeah.
I can't even...
And there's like, this film has, there's the giant popcorn monster, there's the daddy scarecrow, there's the scene where I can't remember his friend's name, but he gets his spine lifted way up over the corn.
Isn't that the second one?
No, because it's Screaming Mad George.
Oh, yeah.
So they return to Nebraska to find the Bible.
Yeah, you're right. That's why I thought it was the other one, because it's Return to Nebraska, which apparently is just a quick drive away from Chicago.
You know.
There's also some weird stuff where it's like night, but not nighttime in this movie.
And there's also like an explanation of first, second, and third base.
Right, which don't work very well because no one really knows the bases, right? They don't have a very good definition. Mm-hmm. So I was excited in this movie. I'm like, finally, I'm fucking 23 years old and I never learned the bases. I'm like, oh, this will be a good, you know, reminisce about high school bullshit thing.
But she just goes, that's first base. And you're like, wait, what did they do? I wasn't paying attention. And she's like, that's second base. And you're like, what was the difference?
Right, and then the brother comes in and it's
like, how do I get a home run? You never find out what third base is.
It's no one knows what third base is.
So
no one has any idea what third base is.
Because first base is apparently kissing.
Well,
second base is touching the tits.
I do not believe we're doing this on this show. But the point is that when they mention third base, there's a carnal part of my mind where I just go into this like mode of like, okay, slasher, maybe there'll be tits in this film.
Yeah, that's the only hope I'm holding out on.
You know, like, I think I've worked up my like pretentious art cred enough in this show that I can, once in a while, I can just go, you know what, Children of the Corn, just give me a monster and some tits and I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that this is probably my favorite movie in the series.
Yeah.
However, that is only because of the, like, this is the poorest made of all the films. Well, one of the poorest.
It's
made.
A fantastic failure.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Fantastic failure. No other reason to comment on this, right?
Well, there's
corn
one,
monster. See this film, it's got a corn monster.
There's one thing we need to say.
What?
And that's the end of this film.
Which is what?
Which is, well, you've killed the monster, but the damage has been done.
Oh, no, you're right.
And the Board of Trade has already sent the evil poison corn all around the world.
Right, because once you eat the corn, you become the Children of the Corn.
Right. So this corn ends up in Germany, and here we go. Okay, so let's take another... I like to take a step back
right.
all the time. Apparently, that's my phrase.
Sure.
So let's take a step back.
Sure.
And look at it from a slasher film point of view. You watch the first one, it's kind of serious. There was never really an intention for sequels. You watch the second one, and they don't really know what they're doing. They kind of make the first one again.
Sure.
Third movie is where they go, okay, guys, let's have some fun. Let's get Screaming Mad George in here. Let's send this crazy chaos around the globe.
Sure.
You can do whatever you want.
You can go
anywhere. Take it to space in the
future. There you go, yeah.
You can
corn in the hood, wherever you want to go.
Take it to the hood. You could do anything your little heart desires, because we've now sent Children of the Corn all over the globe.
Right.
Just for you.
So,
okay, film producers, have a heyday.
And what do we do?
Let's go back to Nebraska.
So the fourth film returns to Nebraska. And this is the most clumsily, like, done series of all time.
It's the only one without a real kid.
I mean, I can't... This is the part where I realize that these movies, like, they have mythology, but there is literally, like, nothing holding these things together. And I'm still kind of holding out, but this movie... I mean, I shouldn't say they have mythology, because this is the Naomi Watts film, right?
Yeah.
This is where they almost try and reboot Children of the Corn.
Yeah, they do. Well, they try to make it serious. They try to kind of add the 90s supernatural is
right,
cool
right.
flair.
Part of the thing that they start in this movie, you've seen them all twice. Maybe you can help me here. But I believe this is the movie that begins the wake-up fake-outs.
It is.
So I already knew these movies were miserable, like, when we were watching them. You know, you watch the first couple Jason movies, and it's not the Jason you grow to love.
Yeah.
Still great films,
yeah.
You know, in their own right. But so when you see the first couple Children of the Corn movies bumbling around, you go, all right, fourth, time to, like, pony up. And not so much.
Not at all.
Here we try
Quite
this
the
weird,
opposite.
Right. We bring in staples in this that become even more... They make this bastard series even more wretched. One is the wake-up fake-out.
Mm-hmm.
And the wake-up fake-out is simply something terrifying happens and Naomi Watt dies in the first 5 minutes of the film. And then it turns out it was a dream.
And then she wakes up and realizes, oh my God, the killer's actually in the room, and then she wakes
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and it's literally just anytime anything. They must do this. I mean, it's ad nauseum. They do it so many times in here.
Well, they do it to the point where something bad happens, and you go, okay.
That's a dream.
Yeah,
and that might almost be smart if you got to a point where you just went, okay, this is going to be a dream, and then it turned out to be real, and you're like, whoa, what the fuck? But it never really does
it never does.
There's no reason to do all this dream shit. It's just a terribly bad gimmick, and they use it over and over.
The reason they do it is because whoever wrote this doesn't know how to make films.
Yeah, that's it.
And they go, okay, so we're going to have... So another thing that all the Children of the Corn movies try to have is a sole leader of the children.
Sure.
So in this one, there's a kid, but the kid's already dead.
Yeah.
All the kids are dead. They died in... Isn't this the one with the... Yeah, this is the one with the circus fire.
And the weird blood stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Where I think we're going to do the thing again, but we're not doing the thing.
In this movie, the Children of the Corn are all but died out.
Right.
There's like generations that have gone on. And there's one kid who was a dark prophet and like priests gave him Quicksilver,
right.
Which is mercury for learning.
This is also
folk.
Where we establish that it's 18 and under, right?
Yeah.
Or that might be the third.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Now we know. Once you're 20, you're no longer a child of the corn. Get the fuck out.
So there's this kid and he eventually dies and he lives on in hope that the abandoned child will return and motherfucking who gives a goddamn shit.
Right.
And he appears in Naomi Watts' dreams. He appears in everybody's dreams.
Because everybody has dreams the whole, like... Mm-hmm.
But that's it. That's why they do it.
Yeah.
Because the kid's already dead. That's the gimmick.
Yeah.
How is he going to kill them if they're already dead? Here's an answer. Watch Nightmare on fucking Elm Street.
Yeah.
That's how he kills them. Yeah. But no, instead... Let's just wake up from the dreams until eventually they reveal the nobody gives a shit legend that he's going to come back in the form of a body after all the kids have bad fevers and wake up and start doing all the Children of the Corn shit and calling themselves different names.
Yeah, you know, and it's not, the problem is it's not Nightmare on Elm Street. It's fucking Dallas. It's not even Dallas because Dallas is an ingenious retcon.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't even have notability. That's why I struggle. So this is why, like, I can evangelize the shitty films on this show because I just have fun. It's notable and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no notability to this movie. It's a failed reboot.
It is.
And it's backwards and it's terrible. Fifth film.
Yeah, please.
The fifth film is the one I had the most trouble remembering, but now I remember it.
And it's one of the better ones.
It's one of the better ones. So I don't know what... This is the fun film.
It is.
This is where they know. First of all, you start with a great gag, which is that you have this couple, you know, traveling across the country, whatever. And they're tagging their territory as they go. I used to take a lot of road trips. I went up to Canada and stuff a lot. And we had like fucking stickers for the band we were seeing. And we'd put them on the gas station. And when we got to the show, we would find out that all the other American kids who came up from Chicago and from Florida and from all over the place ran into our stickers. So it was kind of this cool thing. And I'm watching this film and they have, you know, this is for a gag, but it's great. They put blow up dolls. They like tape them. Yeah. To the gas stations and to, so if anyone follows in their trail, they'll see these blow up dolls everywhere. And I just love that as an opening. So already I'm on this.
That's the closest you get to tits.
Yeah, actually it is. Yeah, that's terrible.
And yeah, so this film starts out in classic slasher fashion.
Mm-hmm.
You have young 20 something kids. One of them is a celebrity you may recognize. And they all go and they're going into town and it seems like they're just having a good time. But because it's Children of the Corn, there has to be a dark ulterior motive to one of the children.
Of course.
And they end up in this town and this one girl's just looking for her brother who she was separated from in, I don't even think it's Gatlin anymore.
You were my brother. Where does our friendship end?
These kids end up in this town and the children are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a commune. For the kids in this one. How do they find out about the commune? Well, no, they go to a bar and they're sitting
Who's working at the bar?
Well, there's a bartender.
Uh-huh.
You may recognize him. It's Kane fucking Hotter.
Awesome.
By
the way,
you did,
I get credits. Yeah. I won Spot the Hotter.
Yeah, you finally did.
Way to go. Spot the Hotter. Yeah, check that shit out.
So they're sitting and he's just like, what? Why are you making fun of my town?
Right.
This is blah, blah, blah. Children of the Corn. He who walks behind the rose. And he's like, if you want a kid, you're going to have to go up there.
So do you think this is classic Hotter working at his day job? Or is this like, hey, Hotter was Jason. Let's put him in our film.
Does the timeline line up for that? Yeah, it's Hotter was Jason.
Okay.
So you have to keep in mind, they get some points for that, right? Kane Hotter was Jason. Yeah, absolutely. Hotter was Jason in the mid to late 80s.
Okay.
That's when he came into play.
Yeah, all right.
Because.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that the 90s only had like two Jason films.
Yeah, one. Yeah. The 90s had one Jason.
Well, yeah, technically, sure. And then Jason 10 was... This isn't the Jason show.
So, Kane Hodder's already Jason.
Right.
Among other things. But, so they get him as a cameo, and he has a...
That does show us...
That they know something.
Yeah, they have some credentials here.
This
Although the third should have shown us that with Screaming Mad George, and it didn't, so I don't know.
This is the only one that shows us, like, hey, we've seen horror movies.
Right.
We want to be one of you know? And... They have these kids and there's a weird commune and it's just, I'm getting annoyed having to talk about what goes on. So I'm going to cut it real short.
Please.
The one girl who's lost her boyfriend is in a state of disarray and ends up converting to Children of the Cornism.
Right.
And is ready to sacrifice herself.
The one girl being Ava Mendez.
Yeah. And she is ready to sacrifice herself to the fire silo, which is where you go when you're over age.
Right.
Of being a child, a Children of the Corn.
Okay.
And you kill yourself and everything's great and wonderful. And this is the one with the dorky little redheaded kid as the leader.
Uh-huh.
He's possessed.
Yeah.
Important to note that he's possessed. The whole charade of this goddamn movie is that the children aren't running things. It's that there's an actual adult, an adult is running the show. I can't remember his name because it's not important. What is important...
Sounds kind of important, Michael.
...is that David Carradine is he's the quote-unquote puppet master.
Yeah.
And there's a cop who's, again, notable actor name that's escaping me.
Doesn't matter.
Famous blaxploitation actor. He was in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, yeah.
He shows up and there's like this weird showdown where you finally see him being like, you can't do this to the kids. You need to like cut this out. And David Carradine, like he picks him up. And he's like, you can't do this. I'm not real.
Right.
I've been dead forever. And the Children of the Corn have been keeping me alive as a facade for this whole, you know, ring of killing kids that they like to put on. And then there's the definitive scene of
the reason to watch this film,
of
really.
Children of the Corn 5, which I'm going to let my my co-host describe to you.
Before we do this, I want to get this out of the way so we can blow through this. There is a snore cam in this, which is the camera that is attached to the actor, but it's on a rocking chair. That's fucking annoying. There is a book in this that when you cover up all the words except the letters on the side, it spells out help. That was a fucking clue. National Treasure owes a credit to this film. Finally, David Carradine, his fucking head splits open and a UFO flies out. No, actually his head splits open and fucking douses the other guy in flame, and which somehow, like, the blade,
it's like a laser.
The blade of flame flies through his head and explodes out of the back of it.
And they both die.
It is one of the most fantastic things I've ever seen.
End your exploitation actors with a bang.
Yeah, absolutely. But really, you just need to watch a YouTube clip, and that's not a film. So fuck that film. Whatever, Kane Hodder was in it, wasn't that bad. Number six, I know you want to get to, because it's The Return of Isaac.
Number
and
six.
That is the only, like, so this is Children of the Corn 666, yeah. Which you made fun of, which right. You should, because fuck that title. Wow, you're so clever. You know what? Texas Chainsaw didn't pull that shit.
Yeah.
Well, probably because it didn't get to six films, but still, come on. There's no reason to do that. We're all adults here, Children of the Corn 666. Fuck you. So Isaac comes back.
Yeah.
And this looks like the...
This is the definitive moment where it looks like one of them has seen one of the other films.
Yeah, hey, mythology. Yeah. We know what's going on. Okay. Yeah. I theorize, and I'll talk about this a little later in a segment we're going to call How to Write Your Own Children of the Corn Film and Get It Published, Guaranteed.
Uh-huh.
But I have the feeling that Isaac just came to the producers and he was like, I need some work. You guys want to do another Children of the Corn? And they were like, who are you? What's Children of the Corn?
He's
whatever.
It's summer break. I'm through teaching science.
Yeah, right.
One thing right off the bat that I like about this film, Stacy Keach. He plays the doctor. He's one of my favorite actors. But what I like about this movie is it attempts to go, okay, you've been through five films. Let's give you something that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, regardless of whether or not that succeeds.
Right.
It goes, there are six movies. There has to be some congruent thing here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to draw,
or so we think.
We're going to draw it into a culminating thing.
Right.
We're going to give you what we think we can at least try to give you.
Sure.
The payoff of all these films. So the first step they do is they bring Isaac back.
Yeah.
And he's still good.
Yeah.
They still have Isaac back. They have to do a weird B story to get him back. And
yeah,
to get,
whatever.
And
I'll
to make
it
matter that he's back. But the whole thing is that the Children of the Corn are now two generations old.
Sure.
And there's like a bunch of prophecies behind it about how this and that is going to lead to he who walks behind the rose finally coming.
Right.
And it has to do with the firstborn of the generation sleeping with another of the firstborn of the generation, and their child will be hell on earth or maybe a really good guy.
Okay.
You know, depending on their religion. Mm-hmm. I don't fucking care. What this film does that I like, even though it fails, I want to make sure.
I'm going to tell you why it fails before you do that.
Okay,
just
please,
so I can.
Please.
Because this film, like, I try to get back into this because this is the kind of the breathing period where I'm like, okay, Children of the Corn. Got to cut. Because we didn't know. We thought this might be the first Killapalooza where we, like, copped out and either separated the films or just didn't do them all because it was a little miserable.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice because, you know, people were over and whatever, but. This is the definitive point where I went, there is no, like, congruent story here at all.
Well,
there
isn't.
Not, it's just not happening.
Corn, kids, and blood.
Well, because Isaac comes back, and I'm like, this is a point where they're going to do retcons or something. They don't even have enough plot in these things to retcon.
Right.
I mean, it would be impossible. But this movie drags, like,
it
nobody's
does.
Business. And I'm sorry, I just want to have fun at this point. And that, you know, there's nothing highbrow to these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And for, you know, we've rallied behind slasher films and tried to point out the things they do that are actually worth taking note of. But Children of the Corn obviously isn't going to do any of that shit.
Right.
So I just want to have fun.
Yeah.
And this movie drags like nobody's business.
It does, because it has one purpose and it's the end of the film.
Sorry, that's all I wanted to get back in there. Also, the only other thing before you continue here is that this is the movie where we all had our epiphany, right?
Yeah.
There's
you all.
It's disputable. There's 4 to 6 of us, apparently. I have no idea who watched these films with us. I was in that kind of corn delusion. My brain was becoming cream corn, as you might say. It's the first cream corn joke on the show. That's
right.
Not going to make it. Mm-hmm. All this time, we're talking about He Who Walks Behind the Rose, and it's like some bad poetry bullshit, and this is the first movie where everybody on the couch in unison kind of goes, oh, Rose, like corn rose.
Yeah.
Like Rose of, I thought it was Rose like by any other name.
Yeah.
Six
that surprised
films,
me because I knew from the very
six
beginning.
Six films yeah. that took.
So this film introduces two things. One is a Jedi. There's this weird scene where Isaac's kid, he fucks this other girl.
Sure.
And then he like walks up and he's like, oh, daddy, here I come.
Yeah.
And he's all like making people shoot themselves and being all Jedi.
Whatever.
And then he shows up and there's this weird campy horror Nightmare on Elm Street scene
mm-hmm.
where there's like a crowd applauding. And it turns out there's this big revelation and this is it's a success and failure simultaneously.
Okay.
It's a success because the film series finally goes, hey, look. It's he who walks behind the rose.
Yeah.
There he is in the flesh.
He's an actual dude.
And
it's not just popcorn.
It fails because everybody goes, who fucking cares?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And he like jumps up on the ceiling and he kills Isaac and he blows up the whole hospital all with Jedi mind power.
Yeah.
And he dies and you don't care.
Okay,
but they
so
tried.
Let's pretend we care for just a second. Let's talk about this as if we're deeply rooted in the mythology of Children of the Corn. Is he who walks behind the rose, as seen in Jedi form here, also the same one as seen in popcorn form in film 3?
Popcorn form.
Are we to believe that? First of all, do these universes even exist? Like Simon, is this even the same universe?
You know, or I'm going to go ahead.
Do
and
we
say,
get a reset in there somewhere?
Well, we
or
have
what
to. We have to because Children of the Corn 3 ends with the corn around the world.
Okay.
And they never touch on that again. And forgive me, our Nebraskan and Midwestern listeners, if there's poison corn that's possessing everyone around the fucking globe, we don't care about Nebraska.
It's true. I'm sorry. Especially after like 9 films in Nebraska,
like,
which I mean 6,
I guess. If all the children in Russia, Japan, and Germany are possessed by a corn god, yeah. I wouldn't make my film in Nebraska.
No, that's an interesting choice. You know, I don't think the rest of the film industry would either,
okay.
except for this franchise.
So they have to ignore it, right?
Yeah, but okay. So is He Who Walks Behind the Rose, as in Jedi form, the same He Who Walks Behind the Rose Popcorn in the first two films?
Yes.
That's so
he's finally
so
it's,
he like
it's
does a Sonic walks, the Hedgehog underground.
Well,
and then,
think about it in this context, because we have
right.
to go with the religious context.
Okay.
He Who Walks Behind the Rose in Jedi form is the son of He Who Walks Behind the Rose, the imaginary god He Who Walks Behind the Rose.
Okay, yeah.
He's the Jesus.
Okay,
you
I got it?
It.
Yeah, I got the Jesus thing.
He's
sure.
one in the same, but a totally different dude.
Right, Father, no, Son, Holy Spirit.
Sense.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
seven
what
films.
It is. Okay, so we move into Children of the Corn 7, Revelation. And the revelation is, wow, you made it this far and nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, it's a little strange because I disagree with everybody over this because I'm
no,
like,
I think it's more everybody disagrees with you.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
How does that?
Well, because nobody said anything.
Okay.
You said it and then we're like, no.
You're just like, whatever, Eric, shut
yeah.
up. We're winding down. It's the last of the films. And I've mentioned this aesthetic on the show before.
Yeah.
That is something I enjoy. And I think it might like, okay, so weird personal diversion aside, I have like basically no memories from when I was a kid because I had fucking weird sleeping problems most of my teenage years. So I, in the back of my head, I remember like some kind of sci-fi channel, something. I would just, well, I don't know, maybe it never even happened. But anytime I see this aesthetic, it makes me imagine laying around on a Sunday, not having school, watching some bullshit I don't actually care about on TV. So there is this aesthetic, and we've seen it in the beginning of House of a Thousand Corpses. And, you know, I even asked Jeremy Kasten what makes it.
Because
yeah. I saw it a little bit when he did Dia de los Muertos.
Oh, yeah, Dia de los Muertos.
When he did Day of the Dead or whatever, the Trejo film. But every once in a while, you get a, and I think everybody else hates it because you see it in bullshit horror movies like this one. But man, the bullshit quota is just outstanding in this episode. So I see this aesthetic, and I'm not, you know, maybe it's overlit, maybe it's a lot of sets, maybe it's just bad lighting, I don't know. But for whatever combines to make this, it's a certain aesthetic that I just, no idea why I enjoy it, but I really do. And going into this film, I could care less what the dumb story is, or the fact that this is basically the Busta Rhymes of the Children of the
Pretty
Corn
much.
Franchise. It has nothing to do with
not
the other films.
All.
There's barely even corn. There's CG corn.
Yeah.
There is terrible CG that is worse than the first film.
Yeah.
However, for some reason, I'm watching it and I'm just kind of digging it.
Yeah.
I'm having an okay time. I would watch this movie again. I can't tell you what happened or why, but I would. And part of it is that they're in apartments a lot, and it's like, it's these beat up apartments.
Yeah.
They're like so bad and gross and whatever. And the story seems to be that this woman's like searching for her grandmother and also searching for an apartment. I don't really know what's going on there. And you have like the kind of dead corn kids showing
coming
up
back,
and
yeah.
asking for quarters
yeah.
by saying kill. Play the House of the Dead video game, which yeah. Huey Bull later made into a film. And that's all the insight I have for the seventh film for you.
This film, aside from being one of the most boring and blasé in the series, does do something that none of the other films yet had attempted to do.
Right.
But we'll get into that in a second, because that's probably the most important part of this film.
Right.
This film, in general, for anybody who watched it, because I'll have to explain it to you, from what I understand, all the kids from the Children of the Corn burned.
Okay.
And it hurt them.
Sure.
And they died. Now, like, the adults are being turned into children because the children are coming back and getting them and claiming them and blah, blah, blah. This girl comes back. Her grandmother got turned into one of the kids. She's
right.
looking for her grandmother. She can't find her because she's a kid, not an old lady. Blah, blah. Children of the Corn, let's blow up the fucking... Okay, here's the thing. Here's what this film does and why it's more important to watch this than the second film and the fourth film combined.
Oh.
There are tits in this film.
Oh, yes, there are.
Or at least one.
There's
at
nipple.
Least one tit, if not two.
Maybe two.
And, okay, are you ready for the other thing
Absolutely.
That this film does? There's one of the most... No, it is the single most intense bathtub corn wrestling scene I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. I got nothing else. That's, you know, I'll defend this film. I have no idea why. And I'll watch it again. I can't tell you why. I really can't even tell you what happens in the film. Maybe I'm just exhausted by this point, and I'm just like, yeah, seventh film. Got some corn, got a lady wandering around. Kind of cool. So we've covered all of these Children of the Corn.
Can you believe that?
Films. I don't believe that this happened. No. Thank fuck we finished this before the TV mm-hmm. remake comes out, because yeah. I don't know, by the time the show goes up, it might even be out, because I know that's airing really yeah. soon. So I want to take note of two things. Mm-hmm. One is I want to know if you have suffered from corn syndrome since watching these, because everyone else I talked to that watched that day has been seeing, like, no joke,
yep.
corn everywhere.
Yeah, well,
I
yeah.
don't know what it is. It's like there's corn in all these movies, and there's corn salt and pepper shakers. I went to the store the other day, and in, like, every aisle, there was, like, a random can. It's like it's haunting me.
Yeah.
If I believed in the afterlife and spirits, and this
Stephen
is really
King-ism.
Funny. If I was Stephen King, let's say, and, you know, not a smart youth, I would think that the corn was haunting me.
Mm-hmm.
It is after me. It's everywhere. Just wanted to know if that was...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay, doublefeatureshow@gmail.com if the corn is following you. Second thing, I said I was going to be nice about those films, and we just... I don't think we've ever, like, been so mean to films before. I'm really sorry, guys. I know you tried to make corn films, but this is really the first series where I feel like they literally just churn these out because they're profitable.
They're sequels.
Or someone thinks they're profitable. And it was one of the more miserable movie experiences yeah. of my entire
existence.
I don't
think we're going to have any more of those this year.
No.
I think it's all in the up and
I don't think we'll ever have to do that again. I think there'll always be something at least mildly intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the most, like, wretched series, you know,
yeah.
of all time. I don't know why in retrospect, I don't think they're so bad, but as we started talking about them, I realized that they are terrible. So really quick, I did this before the show, so I'm going to make you do this now.
Okay.
The first film was?
First film was Malachi's Got a Big Mouth and Isaac is in it.
Second film was?
Second film is Purest Feeling Trent Reznor.
That's it? That's all you're going to give me?
Well, in the house
Wizard
falls on the lady
okay.
and the Native American.
Third film.
Popcorn.
Third film is Popcorn. It's got a whatever. That's
Urban Harvest.
Yeah, Urban Harvest. Okay. Fourth film.
Kids Have a Fever, Naomi Watts is the nurse, and the dream's waking up.
Naomi Watts is wicked fucking cool. Fifth film.
That's the one with both David Carradine and Kane Hodder, and there's the YouTubeable blowing up of the policeman's face scene. And
I hope that's on YouTube, otherwise we might have to get around to that. Sixth film.
Sixth film is The Return of Isaac, and the... reveal of He Who Walks Behind the Rose.
Seventh
R-O-W-S.
Film. Seventh film.
I don't know.
You don't
Revelation.
Know the seventh film.
Seventh film is Revelation. You think it looks pretty. I don't understand what happens, and there's a tit.
Third base.
Still nothing.
Okay. I have this theory that I've had since the beginning, and I really, truly believe this, and I believe that maybe Isaac was falling in my path. In order to get into the film industry, write a Children of the Corn film, because I'm pretty sure that all Children of the Corn films ever written were actually made into movies. I don't think anywhere in existence has anyone ever been like, huh, maybe I'll write a Children of the Corn script, and they didn't go, please sell that to us. We would love to make that into a feature film. So literally, anywhere you think Children of the Corn should go, if you want to take some corn into space, if you want to go back to the third movie, if you want to travel to Germany, if you want to make like Dead Corn, the Nazi corn film, if you want to make a Corn Live DVD, whatever you want to do, just write your own corn movie and submit it to us at, don't do that actually, I don't even want to read Children of the Corn.
I do.
Okay, Michael will read your Children of the Corn scripts, so send them to doublefutureshow@gmail.com. But that is my hypothesis, and I'm really looking for evidence on either side, but I believe all Children of the Corn films ever written were given a green light to be made as films, and I don't know why. What are we doing next time on this goddamn show?
Next time on the show, we are going to cover, we're going to have a little children's films made for adults romp.
Yeah, that's about what that is.
Which will be The Dark Crystal,
mm-hmm,
and Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Dark Crystal is a film that I have not seen. Mm-hmm. That is one you're vouching for. We'll see how that comes out on the show. And yeah, I think we'll get in a really interesting dynamic, something that, you know, we found a couple movies that would fit into this. I know we were talking about Mirror Mask for a bit. Coraline just came out in the last year or so. You know, both of those movies I dig. I'm really into the Neil Gaiman thing. It's very like escapist and kind of dark and mystical, whatever. And you know, fantasy films get a bad rub because it's Harry Potter basically is mm-hmm. the dominant juggernaut of fantasy film, and no one else is even trying anymore. So here are films that I think border on fantasy. I would say Dark Crystal. I mean, that's the same company that made Miramax. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all the Jim Henson stuff. Yeah. And Roger Rabbit is, that's exactly what it is. It's adult subject matter in a children's medium.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email address, doublefutureshow@gmail.com. Email us, whatever. If you actually are following along like the movies we watched and you accidentally watched Children of the Corn because we didn't warn you enough that you shouldn't actually do that beforehand, you can yell at us.
Yeah.
Also, I'm just kind of curious what everyone thinks about us trying to fill in the details of a shitty, awful series, and if it's ever worth it for us to investigate a shitty series in the future, or if this podcast was as miserable for all of our fans as the Children of the Corn films. So doublefutureshow@gmail.com. Also, you can follow the leader over to our website. It's doublefutureshow.com. Here's why I mentioned the website.
Uh-huh.
You can go on there. You can click Killapaloozas, and it will show you the five much better Killapaloozas that we've done. God forbid this is the first fucking show you've ever listened to of ours, and then it's like we cover Children of the Corn, and it's just nobody's having fun with that.
Well, yeah, thanks for tuning into Children of the Corn.
Something, something, take a look in the mirror, something, the Untouchables.
Watch more fucking film.
Bye.